The last person who signed up is Don McGilvery.
My name is Don McGilvery, and thank you for listening to me this afternoon. I live in the Buckman neighborhood and been actively involved there for 30 years or more. I participated actively in the original comprehensive plan in the late 1970s. And in comparison, this process or this is much better than that was at that time. And I look forward to some very interesting discussions and one thing or another in the future. Very much support the testimony here today on all the issues that have been presented. I'm very much interested in the citizen participation thing. One of the things I advocated for 30 years ago was for, again, design, good quality design that fits in with the existing neighborhood development. And that is still a very problematic issue in my neighborhood. We had a big blow up 2 years ago with regards to a project, 55 unit development. Again, there's still not the processes in place, and it's really a matter of process because other smaller cities in the region do this, I think, much better than Portland does. The other thing that brings me here today is basically I have in the early 70s, I got a copy of the document that was produced by the American Institute of Architects. In 1972, they spent their entire year of their organization developing what they call a neighborhood unit plan or neighborhood planning, analyzing the existing urban characters of cities all across the nation and trying to address the urban issues. And it's a 60-page document. And reading through it, you today realize how little has changed. In 35 years, how little has changed to address these problems. And they're, to a great extent, they're physical planning problems, or at least can be addressed through physical planning. I will send this to you. I have it on electronic doc. I'll send it to you and the people at the Bureau of Planning. And I really think that a couple of planners should take a look closely at this and come to some conclusions about the degree to which these can potentially be addressed. Admittedly, Portland is in much better shape than many cities across the nation, but nevertheless, we still struggle with many things. Affordable housing is one of them. So, thank you.
That's all who signed up.
Council discussion? Questions?
I guess I'd like to ask a couple of questions of Gil. Steve?
Probably John.
So I know just as recently yesterday, Gil, you and I were talking about the archaeological resource preservation aspect of the Portland plan, mm-hmm. and that what we're looking at today is sort of a fast-track segment of the need to get periodic review underway and accomplished within a certain timeline, and that the larger issue of the archaeological preservation plan would be part of the, or could be part of the Portland plan.
Correct, yeah. The
testimony I heard today from many of the archaeology folks was in support of what's in, I presume, this plan, and I guess I'm a little confused if you could.
Sure, there's a piece that's within the periodic review, and then some of what you were hearing goes beyond the minimal periodic review requirements, and that's the piece that I think we would need some additional resources, whether it's through PSU or someone else to tackle, and probably not within our current budget. So we'd like to come back with a fuller discussion and proposal around that when we come back with a fuller Portland plan scope. There are pieces that are required under periodic review, so I think it'd be important for Steve to clarify what is being submitted to the state now and then what we might do to go beyond the minimum.
The minimum requirement in periodic review is not for us to do additional research, but to use currently available information about archaeological research. So whether it's from our sources or from PSU and others, just assembling that data is what we would do under periodic review. A lot of the testimony you heard was about a larger additional research involving the community in community activities around archaeology. That would need to be in the Portland plan portion of the work program.
And I would just add similarly on the historic buildings, buildings and sites inventories, that segment of buildings now turning 50 years old, so between 50 and 100 years old where we may not have adequate inventories, would be a part, would be an additional component of the Portland plan scope and not required for the current submittal.
So to pick up on the point Kathy was making,
right,
we will be looking at buildings 50 years and older.
We currently will be using our current inventories as the baseline to update the inventory information, particularly for that group of buildings between a 50 and 100 years old. We would need to do additional work as part of the Portland plan.
Gil, I have a question.
And philosophically, we're completely on board with that. We're just needing to assess our current budget, and if there's any addition, we'd have to come back with you on that.
Okay, thanks.
To respond to one or two of the comments that we heard earlier, what is the model you'll be using for public participation, and what outside resources will you be leveraging or utilizing to make sure that it's as comprehensive and as honest as possible?
Well, again, I'll be happy to describe what we have so far and to also let you know that we will continue to evolve, develop, embellish what we have in front of you when we return with the larger Portland plan scope and when we get into the process. Frankly, using the CIAC to help us with process design is what we're looking forward to getting started on, and we can't do that until we get through your action today that convenes that or establishes that group. But what we've tried to do in the engagement plan that we're submitting to the state to meet their requirements is to describe a very broad suite of tools and techniques which could be used. And I think how we employ those tools and who we engage completely to help us use those tools with a broader audience is part of what we need to do in this very next phase of the work, and that's our intent. I would say that I think we'd have no problem at all amending the words that are on our current scope, and if you'd just give us the latitude to do the wordsmithing. There were three suggestions I heard from the floor that were specific in that regard that I think we could add today, coming from the League of Women Voters. That was very helpful and specific testimony. If I could just go to that, Nick, for a second, my notes anyway, the suggestions about possibly using study circles on particular issues, pulling together stakeholders on issue discussions with differing points of view. I think that's thematically included already, but I think we could make that explicit. And then finally using affinity groups to further the outreach that we have. I think those three suggestions we would be happy to amend the proposal to include. And I think those are wise. But I think what we've tried to do is just say we'll have a very broad and multifaceted engagement program. But the specific design of that, we don't want to do as a Bureau of Planning staff only. We'd like to engage this CIAC and a broad group of citizens to do that.
Well, I know that Commission Member Shapiro, who was the chair of the Housing Authority when the New Columbia project was undertaken, has a deep commitment to a kind of real meaningful substantive community engagement. And in fact, at the New Columbia, the folks who actually live there had a huge say in the design of the development, the look of the buildings, worked directly with the architects. In a sense, you're the architects.
Yeah.
And the public is going to be interacting with you in a very dynamic way. And I think we do have an opportunity through this process to set the bar very high.
Yeah.
This is the public coming together and coming up with their plan for how their city will look. And I'm pleased that Howard's involved because I think public participation around the New Columbia did set the bar quite high, and we can build on that.
If I may, the concept of the 20-minute neighborhood is so seductive and so engaging among the commissioners in terms of working in that direction. That requires that we really do listen to people and we really do hear as it evolves how they feel and how they react. Portland is a community of neighborhoods. We know that. And getting involved with how people react as the plan evolves is critical. Nick's right. The New Columbia project was a success, I think, mostly because we listened to the people who were going to live there or potentially to live there. So this group, this advisory group that two of my colleagues and I are going to join with nine others, is a very exciting and important piece of work for the commission itself, but for us individually, as we try to craft the plan and make it conform more to what people are talking about. Listening is a critical part of how we plan, and I think that this group is absolutely primed to do that kind of listening. So it's a very exciting thing for me to personally participate in after, as you said, the New Columbia success, which I think it is a great success.
I would just add, too, if I could, that you know, Mayor Potter's had an abiding and clear interest in this, and we're continuing to work with him on fleshing out the engagement piece of the plan, and we'll be doing that with the CIAC as well. And that's one of the reasons for bringing back the larger work plan, a scope to you in a couple of months, along with the interest expressed by Mayor-elect Adams in the sort of strategic components of the planning efforts, which need to be fleshed out as well.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, were you?
Go ahead.
Gil, I was intrigued by a lot of the testimony today, but having been in the crosshairs of the skinny house debate since 2002, I was intrigued by the suggestion of obviously only where there are contiguous 2,500 square foot lots having essentially a townhouse built. Mm-hmm. And as you know, oftentimes the issue with skinny houses is that they're out of scale with the surrounding architecture. And having visited a lot of that, I mean, I understand the problem. Mm-hmm. So I was really intrigued by that suggestion. It's not something I'd thought of before. Obviously, that's not a solution where you have standalone 2,500 lots that are surrounded by 50 by 100 lots with existing structures on them. But for those particular parcels where there may be some interest by a developer or even the property seller to subdivide, if we had some requirement that required that on those lots where you had the contiguous lines, that be a townhouse, I'd be very intrigued by that. And I hope you took note of that and follow up on that, because that's something I'd like to pursue more.
I did. And I think as a technical legal matter, that could be done as a follow-up to the Portland plan, or it could be done alongside in a sort of separate line of inquiry. We're clearly going to be looking at questions about urban form and including building prototypes and so forth, these neighborhood infill concerns that you heard about today within the scope of the Portland plan. I just don't want to promise that the Portland plan will deliver specific zoning changes until you adopt the Portland plan.
And it might be, I mean, intuitively, the way that struck me is that it doesn't affect the cost, because if anything, I would think that it'd be more efficient to build one structure. You could actually sell the separate units cheaper, I would think. Mm-hmm. So there's just sitting here trying to think of the pitfalls, I can't think of what that is. So
if it's under common ownership and undivided at the moment, I mean, it would seem...
Right, and so my thought is that if it doesn't seem appropriate for this process and you think there's a more expedited process, I'd like to talk to you and follow up with that.
Happy to do that.
And maybe pursue that quicker rather than what this process might result.
Okay, we'll do.
Well, Gil's heard me many times on this issue, but to me, community engagement should be at the core of this particular, and I'm talking about the Portland plan, but that does include the comp plan as well, at the core, and that it's not so much as a series of episodic events as a continuous event of community engagement, and from the front end, where you're defining what the issues and problems and structures and all of that is, to the very back end, where you're saying, have we done what we said we would do? So I'm going to be working very closely with the Planning Bureau and the Planning Commission to make sure that as we proceed with this, that there's that it's not business as usual, that it is very involved with the community, and they will be part and parcel of every step of the way. And I've discussed this with the mayor-elect, and he shares both my concerns and also the opportunities that we see for this, is that this is an opportunity to create a plan that is Portland's plan, and something that everybody can say, I had a piece of that, and this is what I did to help make it work. including ensuring that our history and our prehistory is cataloged in a way that honors all of the people who have lived on these shores and this soil. So I know that there's going to be a lot of discussion about this, but I know that we're gonna do everything we can to make sure that it's done right.
Three quick questions.
Sure.
Three quick ones here. The timeline for the scope of work for the Portland plan. What is a 20-minute neighborhood, and why can't Northeast 82nd be a 20-minute neighborhood?
Could be. Should be.
What is it?
Well, we're trying to define exactly what that looks like, and part of it will be essentially mapping right now, just drawing some circles where we see critical daily or weekly need functions that might be met by being able to walk or bike within 20 minutes of your home, for example. Not necessarily every place you'd want to work, or maybe not to go to the hospital, but for daily and weekly needs, whether it's basic commercial services or a park or a place to gather or a school, those kinds of things. That's the kind of mapping we want to do and the discussion we want to have with the community. What defines a neighborhood for you? What are the critical components? And probably a reliable form of transit within that circle to be able to get you to the other things that aren't in the circle that you may not need on a daily basis. So 82nd Avenue would be a very long 20-minute neighborhood, but it could be divided up into segments and joined with surrounding areas. So I think it's a great opportunity to look at that. So,
well, I believe the testimony was directed at Northeast 82nd, and I think
correct.
Even further north.
Even further.
Sandy
right.
North is what I'm guessing. But.
Right.
We'd have to then, okay, the scope of work for the timeline for the scope of work.
We want to talk with the mayor and mayor-elect, but I imagine that we would be back within a couple of months to council on that.
The most.
So. Most, okay. Great.
We'd certainly want to consult the planning commission on the way. So.
Further questions? Thank you, folks. It's a resolution. Please call the vote.
Fish.
I want to thank the Bureau of Planning staff for the presentation and for the briefings that I've received outside of this forum and your good work, and we look forward to working closely with you as you move ahead with the Portland plan and the comp plan. Aye.
Leonard.
Clearly, the archaeological community had a lesson in political persuasion today. I'm impressed. Although I do know the relationship with Commissioner Adams' office, so you didn't fool me. So it was a good presentation. I look forward to the process and participating in it. Thank you. Aye.
Saltzman.
I'm looking forward to this. Sounds like it's got off to a good start, and we take to heart a lot of the testimony we heard here today. Aye.
Potter.
Oh, excuse me. Well, I do appreciate what the Planning Bureau and the Planning Commission is doing. I think that we need to listen very carefully to the community's voices today. And I'd like to say that the combined age of my house and my age is 179 years, and perhaps they could look at both of those as part of the archaeological examination. But I thank you, Dr. Ames, and folks for coming in to speak today, and all of the good folks who came in to give us their wisdom. I vote aye. We're adjourned.
Thank you. 102.